So this is like when Tinder was actually good. Now it's just like a fucking, it is a gas station bathroom in the middle of nowhere. But back then it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And I know you look at me and you're like, you're in charge of Grindr in Israel for sure. You are gay. No, I'm not. I know, surprising for everyone. Most people worry about things being gay. That's so stupid. I do wear women's deodorant. That is, I have to. It's the only, why would I want to smell how another man also smells? Like, that's super gay. I would never fuck you. I would never do that.
Welcome to the Blackout Diaries, a show where stand-up comics plus everyday people tell true drinking stories. I'm your host, Sean Bear Flannery.
And I'm CJ Sullivan. Each week here on the Blackout Diaries, we discuss a different theme when it comes to the debauchery and of drinking world. And this week is Odysseys. Basically, journeys that we usually, the nights that get away from you, these are complete, absolute trips that just get away from you. Where, and you bring
journeys.
Together. Yeah. You know,
I always loved it. Whenever my Indian software developer coworkers, they don't use the word like trip or night. They say journey for everything. And I'm like, you know what? The way I party, that's actually a better word, friend. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Journey. Journey's having a moment. People have self journeys. It's all about the, like, discovery journeys. You know what I mean? But like, that's the true journey has to take you out there. I feel like it's like an odyssey. Like, you go out there. I think it's
exactly.
I think it's with drunks because we. You know, obviously there's no, we don't have repercussions or inner, but you don't think of the consequences of anything, but
nope.
We're easily distractible and everything looks good, you know, to, oh, what's that over there? You know, and then you go and you, yeah. And then you forget where you, even started from, you know,
and it's amazing. You think everything's going to be a good time. You're like, well, let's just go over to that bar, mm-hmm. You know, and then you get there and then somebody who's modestly sober is like, you know, that's a bus terminal, yeah. Sean. Like, that's not, well, they probably have a bar in there somewhere, you know?
I know. I do remember that was one of the first criticisms you had where it really hit hard for you when we went out when I wasn't drinking is that I would not just turn down your proposal ideas, but I'd like logically say, yeah, I don't think that's going to be a good thing. Like, see?
I don't think that's possible.
Right. Yeah. You're like, this is why you can't have someone sober because they talk you out of stupid things. You make too much sense when you know what's going on. That's not the whole point of this. And you make
sober
point.
People don't have odysseys, you know.
Yeah, like, no, you're right about that.
When you leave the apartment, you only visit the places you were planning to visit.
Yeah, I have itineraries. I mean, I have an open mind, but then a normal conscience that says, "Now, yeah, well, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is not what I set out to do."
Drunk people don't know where they're going to be. They don't know where they've been, you know?
Right.
And it really is like an odyssey. Like, you come home and you don't, it's almost like a Greek explorer. Like, Jesselby, where were you? Like,
yeah.
I would tell her sometimes, I'm like, I think I ended up in a forest at one point. She's like, I thought you were in downtown Chicago. I was, you know, right. I don't know how I got there, you know?
I believe that's a man-woman thing as well, too, because women can't comprehend that we'd go out with no agenda or plan. Or like, how do you, you know, yeah. What are you going to do?
Or that
like,
there's no voice in our head right. Going, this might not be safe, you're alone.
Yeah, or any of that stuff. Like, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. The fun's out there. I don't know. I don't know where it is. But we go.
I'll find it. It'll find me. Right. You know, we'll intersect.
It'll be found. I'm not worried about that, you know. But no, we have to have it lined up beforehand and, you know. And they're obviously good at, you know, scheduling and planning. That was a thing actually I brought up during the March Madness thing. People were mad about the tournaments starting late on the East Coast and things like that. But the women's tournaments are all like, they have some in the morning, some in the day. I'm like, yeah, because women are better schedulers. They're better planners, you know. The men just like want, like, hey, so give us the ball. We'll show up. We'll figure all that out later. The women, you know, they have the
Yeah, but we're like, nothing before five, man. Nothing before five. Like, I'm still getting my sea legs, you know. Yeah.
Right. They don't coincide with other events. They look ahead to that. Like, but basketball's like, I don't know. Was it baseball opening day? Who the hell knew that? You know, Easter? Who knows? That thing's moving around. That was funny. Speaking of Easter, we did the Easter Blackout Diaries show in LA. And that was, was that thing with the White House, too? They had a speech, too, about it. Like, because I don't know.
Transgender?
Yeah, it was a transgender
visibility day.
And like this,
which apparently it's always the last day of April, so it's always the 30th. Now, right. Easter is not always the 30th, but transgender, it's not as though a person said, you know what would be the perfect holiday to coincide this with?
Yeah.
The lunar holiday of Easter. Let's always have transgender.
That's
so one
exactly
of them
right.
floats, one of them doesn't.
Yeah. So obviously that became a dumb controversy. And her speech to justify it was kind of funny, when she's like, nobody knows when Easter is. And so it's moving around, you know, like you can't lock it down. It just turns up, you know. We know it's a Sunday, but it can be any of six Sundays. And transgender day is always that day, you know. So it's just, it's a coincidence, you know. Like, we didn't, the hell if we knew when it was going to pop up.
She's right.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, I mean, you would just, I was raised Catholic, and you would just, you had no idea when Easter is. You would just walk into a Burger King, and you see the Whalers back on the menu, and you're like, fuck. Right. Easter's around the corner,
yeah,
isn't it?
Lent,
you know?
Would come. The Whaler, right. That is funny how that, That was the big
thing. Way the fast food places cater to the Catholics, you know. Yep. They quit doing that. That's how you really know the Catholic Church has lost its power. That McDonald's and Burger King doesn't even return its call. You know, like McDonald's is like, hey, just want to give you a heads up, Easter's coming up. You know, we have this yearly call. You know, you guys put all the fish back on the menu, and they're just like, yeah, like they have like a pen that doesn't even have ink in it. Right. Okay, I hear you.
Sure.
I hear you, Catholic. Right. Oh, April 31st. Okay, yep.
The filet of fish is on there all the time. Just get that, which is hilarious that that's where that started, back when there was only one restaurant and one religion.
Oh, that putting the fish on the menu.
Yeah, the filet
was
of fish was
Lent.
Because of Lent, right? And then
100%.
Then it became so popular that they just kept it on the menu. And like you said, now they don't even return their calls.
I had this is a real quick funny lit story before we get into Daniel, because we do have an amazing comic.
Yes.
Who's about to tell a heck of an Odyssey story. But so half my brothers and sisters gave up drinking for Lent. Well, first of all, my nephew in kindergarten gave up swearing, which I thought was hilarious, because I saw my family last week. And my sister goes to this kind of affluent church, and he's such a hilarious Catholic priest, because he's basically, it's almost like the Middle Ages dispensation. You know, like he will let you do whatever you want if he feels you're paying the right dues. So I was drinking NAs just because I've been drinking less lately. And Sarah's like, my sister's like, oh, did you give it up? Or Eileen's like, did you give it up for Lent too? I'm like, no, I've had a couple beers this week, but today I'm just not drinking. And, they're all drinking NAs, and then Sarah just pops open alcohol, and Eileen's like, wait, I thought you gave it up for Lent. She's like, no, Holy Week is not part of Lent. And we're all like, what? So she says this in a room full of like 1,200 years of Catholic religion people. You know, like my dad tried to become a fucking priest for and we're all like, whoa, 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 what? None of us have ever heard that.
No, that's
you know, she's like, no, it's not. You can give up your Lent thing starting on Palm Sunday.
Not
and we're like, what? Yep, midnight Palm. And everyone's like, what? She's like, nope, I talked to the priest. He told me that, you know. And then we're like, she's explaining it. She basically like, blindsided us with this. You know, he's probably like, sure, whatever. You know, you pay a lot of money. And then she just walks away. She's like, okay, and I'm not going to Google his answer. I'm not going to ask any follow-up questions.
Holy Week is the headliner week of Lent. That's when you got to, if anything, you ramp it up and try to make up for the 3 weeks you kind of cheated with the meat and all the other things you gave up for Lent. You can't, I mean, that's when everyone's watching. It's Holy Week. You can't.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, but I found that hilarious.
Now, that's great. I love the not follow-up. When you get the answer you want, you hang up, as they say in Moneyball. You know, you don't ask any follow-up questions. All right, perfect.
I was just at a bar where I was talking to this. It's interesting being my age because some of my friends, their parents are at that age where they got to start taking care of them. Okay, mm-hmm. And her dad is legally blind, and he lives in Southern Illinois. And I just hear her screaming at her father on the phone. Like, she excuses herself. She's like, "I got to take this." She's screaming at her father. She comes back. She's like super upset. I'm like, "What's going on?" It's like, "Oh, my dad. You remember I was telling you he's legally blind? Well, he went to every doctor in Southern Illinois until he found a doctor that said he'll sign a waiver where he's allowed to drive off memory to the grocery store and other." So he had to see like 1,200 doctors, right, before he found. But you know, you see enough people, you'll find whatever answer you're looking for.
I would trust the car to drive off memory before I would just trust the senile man. Like, if you could program that I'd sign off on. Anyway, all right, let's get into our story because this is the odyssey our introduction already became. And we started on one topic and we're off on new senile men driving to the grocery store on memory. And that is an odyssey. But we have a great comic talk about his story that started off one way and went on the great odyssey. Give it up for Once Upon a Beer, Midnight Brewery, Daniel Bergamini.
Hi, how are you? Look at us. This is beautiful. Sensational. The what?
Nice and bundled.
Nice and bundled. You guys are so cozy. I like it. It's Pisces season. Any Pisces in here?
No.
Hell yeah. Happy birthdays. I'm an Aries.
Me too.
Yeah? Bad bitch, line up. Let's go. Fuck yeah. You ever meet a dude that like openly hates on astrology? It's like, what's the matter with you, bro? You hate pussy and fun? Like, what's up? You can't even pretend? Oh, it's not real. Is the fake football team on your phone real, you fucking dork? With your little imaginary points? Let me get this straight. You're picking your favorite men, you're putting money on it, and you're calling that your fantasy? I don't know, big man. I don't know. All right, this is the Blackout Diaries. Let's get to work. This vodka soda's fucking doing numbers on me. I went to Florida State. I'm from Miami originally. Is anyone here from Florida? Good, not allowed. Florida State is known for being a party school, and that it is. When I moved there, that was my first time being like out of the house. And you know, it kind of gets to you. So I found out like campus had free therapy. So I did therapy and on campus. And my therapist was really hot. Here's the thing about having a hot therapist, is kind of like just practice. Because it's just a beautiful woman sitting in front of you. You're just oversharing. That's just every first date that I've ever been on. Except insurance pays for it. So like, you're off the hook. Right? But yeah, I needed it because I didn't want to, I don't know. Like, I'm impulsive, so I'd feel like if I got in the mood, I'd be like, what if I just tried to, you know, maybe. I would never commit suicide. Absolutely not. Because I am terrified of commitment. It is scary. No, thank you. No, thank you. So yeah, I went to FSU. I think I was 22 when I went, because I did 2 years in community college, or three, I don't know, I did a lot of years in community college. I lost my virginity when I was 20. This is a very important little tidbit. Now, it's not because I wanted to. It's because I was unbearable until I was 20. So, anyway, I'm at FSU. All my friends are getting laid. I'm not. So what do? This is 2015, 16. So this is like when Tinder was actually good. Now it's just like a fucking, it is a gas station bathroom in the middle of nowhere. Tinder now, bro, it is a hole in the wall at a truck stop. That's what Tinder is now. It is a nightmare. But back then it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And I know you look at me and you're like, you're in charge of Grindr in Israel for sure. You are gay. No, I'm not. I know, surprising for everyone. Most people worry about things being gay. It's so stupid. I do wear women's deodorant. That is, I have to. It's the only, why would I want to smell how another man also smells? Like, that's super gay. I would never fuck you. I would never do that. What, am I going to smell like fucking Thunder Mountain? No, I want lavender. Give me the sweetie drip. I want the secret. Give me the secrets. Anyway, so I matched with this girl on Tinder. And so she comes over. We hook up. There's like a rapport that is built, right? Now, at one point, so this is where the Blackout Diary begins. I have to give you some backstory. So this was a series of like 48 hours. This happened on Valentine's Day, right? So I was finally invited over on Valentine's Day in 2016, I believe. Now, we, around this time, this is in Tallahassee, Florida, the movie Get Out had just come out. Right? Phenomenal movie.
Phenomenal.
That was the plan, to go watch that movie, right? So, I get invited to her place, I go to her place, we're hooking up. She's like, I wanna try something with you. And I'm like, okay, what? And she pulls out a butt plug, and I'm like, hell yeah. And she's like, no, it's not for you. I'm like, damn. So, she wanted to try it. So I was like, all right, cool. I've never done this before. Let's do it. Two idiots, one butt plug. What can go wrong? So, anyway. So we're doing the thing, right? You put it in a lot of lube, right? So we're making magic happen. And she eventually gets to the point that she's like, hey, can you put pressure on it? And I'm like, I'm from the back. So I'm like, absolutely. I'm just like holding the elevator button like when it's trying to close. So I'm holding it, right? And I get distracted. I don't know. I'm trying not to come. I'm like, Z-Y-X-W-V-U-T. You know, you're trying not to, right? I'm a one-hit wonder. So I'm holding the button. And eventually I get distracted, and that's, my hand goes somewhere else. And then she's like, hey, can you put pressure on it again? And I was like, don't you have it? And she was like, mm-mm. You have it. It's in my butt. And I'm like, no, it's not. And so I'm like, did you take it out? And she's like, no, did you take it out? And I was like, oh, fuck. So with one finger, I go. Sorry, it was this finger. I go. This was the scout. This was the location scout. So I go. I put my finger in and I find it. It's deep in there and it's sideways. So it's sideways. You're like, how are we blocking out? Oh, we'll get there. So it's sideways, right? And I'm like, fuck. I can't let go of this finger, because if I let go of this finger, it's gonna go away. So the nightstand's over there, right? And there's lube over there. So I go, I grab the lube, I come back, I just pour a fucking Super Bowl champion amount of lube, right? And then I go in with the other finger and I grab it. And then it was surgery. I don't know if you've ever had to force role play in an emergency room. Like, this was not discussed before. I had to fucking, there was, yeah. So I pull it out. It's a sight to behold. It is a butt that's unprepared to poop. Dog, that shit's crazy. My erection has never faded so quickly. Just like in an instant, it just hit. It was like, nope, we're done here. Whatever, I pull it out. We don't have to go to the hospital, right? And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, dude, I just need to lay down for like 2 seconds. And then we're good. Anyway, like an hour later, we hooked up. Again, we went through it and we got over it, whatever. So, now it's time to go to the movies. We go to the movies. This is all within the same 24, 48 hours. So, we go to the movies and we watch Get Out. We watched Get Out at an all-black movie theater in Tallahassee, Florida. We were the only white people there. Let me tell you, there is no entertainment better than that movie at an all-black movie theater. It was a phenomenal experience. But when we left the movie theater, she broke up with me. So that was the silver lining. It was the fact that I had a great movie experience. So I get back home and I tell my friends, I'm like, hey, this chick just dumped me. I liked her. And they're like, my roommate, her name was Michelle, and she was like, Daniel, fuck that stupid bitch, let's go to a party. I'm like, let's go to a party. This is 2016. This is Future's like peak. This Future is just on top of the world right now. Diamonds dancing, fucking Digital Dash. This is, if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. So we go to the party, right? We didn't bring any drinks, but they had a big, like one of those big sport Gatorade thingies. So we each drank a cup, but when we finished the cup, we were both like, dude, are you really fucked up? And I was like, I am really fucked up. So we find out, we walk around the house party and there's people passed out throughout the party as we explore. We find out later that someone crushed Xanax and put it into the Gatorade. We find this out while we're at the party and we're just looking at each other and we're like, dude, we gotta go home. So, we walk, I don't know how many miles, but we eventually made it home. I forgot that I was even seeing a girl, and I completely forgot that I pulled a butt plug out like 8 hours earlier because I was worried that I was myself gonna have a butt plug inserted. Unwillingly. My name is Daniel Bergamini. Thank you so much. That was my blackout story.
Let's hear it for Daniel!
And we're back at the Blackout Diaries of CJ Sullivan, and you just heard from the hilarious Daniel Bergamini, who is joining us in the studio. Daniel, thank you. Did I get the name wrong? CJ always likes to have me names I'm not familiar with to see me fuck it up.
It was great.
That's been the story of my life with every teacher I've had, so you're fine. Don't even worry about it.
That's funny.
You said you're from Florida
State? Is that what you said in the story?
I'm from Miami originally.
Are you from down south? I was just gonna say, well, there's some Italians down there. Dealing with the names.
Yeah, not really. It's mainly like, especially where I'm, the neighborhood I'm from, it's like mainly Cubans and Dominicans. Like my family's Brazilian, and I grew up in Brazil. Then I moved to Miami when I was 7. But yeah, they're not used to those names. Like I moved to Chicago, and I cannot pronounce any of the Polish names. I can't do it.
Right.
There's Z's and W's. So
I don't
no
know if any of us can.
Of them. It's insane.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and the it is hilarious. It's just
there's no A's, no O's, just T, Z, W, V. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Then a K gets in there. But some are silent, some are extra hard.
Who am I to judge with last names?
That's amazing. Funny story told there. How did you know? I was with the punch bowl full of Xanax caught my.
Yeah, we found that out days later.
Because I've had some bad mixtures with Xanax and alcohol. Uh-huh. They do not mix. They tell you it doesn't mix, and I've usually blown through those signs all the time. You'll mix medication and alcohol.
That one's bad. I noticed. Well, it was, we suspected it because me and my roommate, we shared a bottle of wine, and we weren't that drunk. And then we're like, should we get a drink inside? And then sure. And then we drank maybe half of those Red Solo cups. And at that point, we were already like spinning and trying. I was falling asleep. I was against the wall and I was falling asleep. And I was like, all right, something's up. So, yeah.
I do like it when the – I feel like the doctors kind of have like a sense of when they're talking to somebody, yeah. maybe like what level they party at. And I do like it when they're like – they give like two kinds of warnings. Yeah. Like, okay, well, you know, listen, I've given you a lot of warnings and I know you're ignoring them right. and that's fine. But this is one you actually have to listen to. And they give you that kind of warning with that kind of – because that's really dangerous if somebody would just do that without telling anyone.
Spike in the punch and then
yeah, 100%,
straight up 100%. Drugging people.
Yeah, it's fucking date rape roulette. That's what that is, dude. It's crazy.
And limb, yeah. just broken limbs. I mean, like, you can lose all coordination.
Yeah. I would love to have, like, at least have a little drone hover and see what happened after, like, the rest of the party, but I have no idea.
Yeah, what do you remember from the party since from the punch?
It was, well, this is in Tallahassee, so it was, like, a really big backyard. It had a bonfire. I remember this one girl tried to make out with me, and then but I had seen her make out with like three other people at the party, so I was like, I'm good. And then whatever, I went outside and then I came back and she was passed out on the couch, and I was like, uh-oh. But anyway, so then I remember just like flashes. I don't really remember anything specific, but I remember flashes. And then at one point I was outside. I don't remember if there was music. I remember I saw my roommate. And then once I noticed that she was fucked up and I was too fucked up, and I was just like, dude, we got to go. And she's like, let's go. And then I don't know. She's the one that told me after that they apparently spiked it because she found out from her friend that had invited her there, something like that. Then they like, I don't know. I think they like, so it was one guy that did it, and they I don't think they beat his ass. I don't know what they did, to be honest with you, but I hope they did.
The fraternity, I like that. The fraternity launched its investigative wing, you know, to get to the bottom of this, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Florida house.
That would be a fun, like, kind of Sam Spade gumshoe reinvention where you just do college investigations to get to the truth of all these little.
Oh my God, a Florida
scandals.
State. That's what I mean.
Florida State would probably be a good college for that. What is it like there? Because you always, I feel like growing up in Ohio, you always just every year, you know, like when I was growing up, I'm older, and like the Playboy, biggest party schools was like the list that everyone sort of listened to about party schools.
Yeah.
And Florida State was like always number one, I feel like.
I graduated.
Is it still a huge party school?
17. So I would assume so. I haven't been back there since, but yeah, I mean, it was like if we had morning games, we'd start drinking at 7 a.m. I think I've made it through one I went through a lot of the football games because I live right next to the stadium, but I don't think I've ever stayed for one through the whole game. I don't think I was ever able to stay for one through the whole. You get hungover by halftime. Yeah, there's a lot of parties.
Yeah, because they don't serve alcohol in the actual games, do they?
No.
So you start getting hangover when you watch the game.
No, like a lot of places pregame, like in parking lots at the stadium, but since all the students lived around, like there's Florida State, and then all around the campus, there's like apartments that people could live at. So everyone just gets fucked up and then walks. So, yeah. You have to walk through that Tallahassee. You have to walk through what's known as the rape tunnel. It's a tunnel underground with no lights to get to the stadium, and they call it the rape tunnel. So that's Tallahassee, Florida, baby.
I love whatever the press, like whenever they got named the number one party school, or probably something about, I always love it when the provost of the Florida State has to answer all this. And he's always like, God damn it. You know, like we got right. rated number one, the fucking rape tunnel. Like we don't call it that. Yeah. It's official name, you know, and I'm sure it has an official name. You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Tallahassee in general, it seems to me, or Florida's in general, it's very, I mean, obviously, it's swampy down there. There's a swamp, but I'm always, like blown away by how, like alligators and stuff in animals, just how a part of life it is in Florida. And like an alligator walking, like, oh, that's Ollie, you know, like he bit a homeless guy's balls off last week. You know, don't mess with him when you're drunk, that's for sure. That's his swamp. Yeah. You know, it's just like part of it. Like they live in the canals
all throughout Florida. So they go from the Everglades, which is on the west side of Florida, to the ocean. So they travel, and the canals connect all the waterways. So they just live in the canals and just travel through. That's their highway.
It's kind of great.
I kind of respect that about Florida, though. Like, because,
yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know,
no,
in the Midwest and the East Coast, we eradicated right. all large yeah. predators, you know. Right. And I feel a consequence of that is we have these fucking annoying dogs that are way too cocky, you know, and they just right. they control the streets and we let their owners take them everywhere. Yeah. And we, yeah.
And humans, quite frankly, some drunk humans. It keeps yeah. drunks in line as well. You know, it's a good thing to have around.
Yeah.
You should have a healthy fear of your environment, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. or respect
have
for
an
it.
Occasional right. dinosaur to walk around. Keep you humble.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect. What's the off the top of your head? And if nothing jumps out, you don't have to say this. But what's your most Florida memory that you've seen, like, or have witnessed, where you're like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, oh, this man. Could only happen in this state."
That's such a good question. Let's see. I was doing mushrooms in this like mangrove state park, and this isn't very Florida. This is Florida wildlife mainly, but I started sobbing when I saw a manatee. That's fun.
I could see
as far
that.
As Florida
yeah.
people, I've seen new names. I used to work at a restaurant, and this one really drunk lady started ripping some random dude's shirt off at the bar that she did not come there with. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's a weird.
She like sexually, romantically, or angrily?
Both.
She
both.
Was doing
she
it.
Wanted
both.
It. Sexually so bad she got angry yeah. and he was not having it, so she ripped his shirt off and then he started running away. He ran his from his bill and we were just cracking up. Yeah, I don't know, Florida, it's a very very unique state, I think, especially now.
Yeah. Speaking of assertive women, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about uh-huh. the beginning half of your journey,
yes.
your Odyssey
yes.
story, when you went yes. on a Tinder date, when Tinder yes, was yes, golden yes. era, as you pointed out. How far did you drive to meet this woman? Well, do you remember
no,
that?
No.
Was it a couple hours?
Well, dude, I don't remember what the story was. So? But yeah, I think, was it mainly a couple hours? No.
I mean, that's not an important detail. The headline of the story was... You doing an exploratory
yes.
recon?
Yeah.
Plug that you've.
Yeah.
That
no, it wasn't. I don't think it was a couple hours. So it was a date. Yeah. No, she came over.
That's good.
I think she came over, or right. I went over.
It was not the first date.
No, we had seen each other for a little bit. There was a bit of a rapport already.
Oh.
So she wanted it.
All right. You guys had a. Yeah.
We were at butt plug stage. Yeah. She wanted to try it, and then butt plug got lost, and it was time for me to step in as doctor.
Yeah, and you did an exploratory. Did you have a flashlight? You said you saw it in there sideways. I mean, that seems like you were like doing
it.
A mind
I felt it sideways, and then I couldn't let it go. I was like,
oh, I see.
I was like Scar holding Mufasa over the cliff. I'm like, I can't let go. If I let go, it's over.
And how did that get resolved?
Yeah.
You just pulled it back out?
Yeah, I pulled it back out. She
you
was
saved
a
it?
Trooper.
Nice.
We took a little 30-minute breather, and then we went right back at it. She was a soldier. My girl was a soldier.
Guys. Yeah. You got to ice up, you know, let things
yeah,
in.
Yeah,
know,
we did not play
out.
With them after that. Yeah. I made her throw it out because I'm like, this one has a mind of its own. Yeah, dude.
It's bad luck.
So that's what's odd about the story is that survived the relationship, but then you went to a movie.
Well, yeah, I think
right
she wanted to break it up already.
Were you,
the vibe was already weird. But yeah, and then, yeah, we went to an all-black movie theater in Tallahassee. That was a lot of fun. And then, yeah, I was like, hey, you want to go back home? And then she's like, we should just be friends. I'm like, okay.
Do you feel if you were unable to retrieve it and she had to go to the hospital to have it out, do you feel you would have had to go on as a couple? Like,
I wouldn't let her go.
If you have any
herself.
Anticipation of this relationship lasting the next day, you probably
would
found, you would have had her go by yourself.
We're in there together. You know, we're in this yeah. together. I put a plug in, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. A gentleman
yeah.
doesn't let her.
I'm not going to cover.
I agree.
Go to the hospital by herself with a sex toy.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm not
going to
you know, put down my insurance, but I'll keep you company in the waiting room.
Yeah, you're not gonna drop her off at the valet,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And swing around, but
I'll find parking.
You'll find
I'll bring a book. You know,
you'll find parking.
I'll wait it out. It'll be a mood killer for sure. But
I've always wondered, because they have to, like, it's got to be the highlight of the ER, X-ray, radiologist, whoever checks where it, yeah, like, I would imagine they do an X-ray. I don't know if this is true or not. And I would, that X-ray has to be seen by everybody who's working that night, don't you think?
They have, like, a Hall of Fame, probably. Like, fuck HIPAA laws.
No, absolutely. There's websites dedicated. They have a best of, like, every year. It's like a competition of best of. I think you're a question. I don't know if it's like free information or something.
I'm sure they have the excuses, too. Oh, I slipped and I fell.
Yeah. There's nothing funny in some of those. Like, butt plug is, I'm sure, in dildos, the most normal they get, you know,
right,
in those X-rays, of course. But it's just the outlines of figures, you know what I mean? It's just fucking hilarious through the X-ray photo. You know, it just makes it so much more comical. Like seeing Aunt Jemima through an X-ray.
You ever see that Jackass bit where they put the toy car in there?
The race car? Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's a great one.
Well, Daniel, this has been so fun, and your story was so great. We got to have you back on the live show soon. Thank you for joining the podcast as well. Before you leave, though, can you tell our listeners some ways they can follow more of your career,
please? Instagram or TikTok. My Instagram is at Daniel Bergamini, and then my TikTok is and usually just a T-shirt. Those are the main places. But yeah, other than that,
all right.
See you guys soon.
Yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you so much, Daniel.
All right, we're back here in the Blackout Diaries. That was hilarious, Daniel Bergamini with Florida Odyssey butt plug stories that all seem to come together.
The only thing that would make it more of an Odyssey-like experience would be if he had to go to the hospital, but it's such a funny story.
Yes. I also like that story, part of it, like when you find out later... at the party with the alcohol was laced with Xanax, you know, or whatever, or spiked, you know, drugged, basically. Who knows? When you hear, like, days later, who knows what, you know, it's true, you know, if not true. I think, because we know our theories with a lot of the drinking and with the drugging is you want a reason of why you were that messed up other than that you had 15 drinks and that you're in denial.
Yeah, totally.
You know, there's just no way this could happen from my normal drinking because I can handle it. You know, you just can't comprehend that you're as drunk as you are. And it turns out, Sean, that there's actually science now behind it that says that drunk people don't know how drunk they are. And that's how a lot of these odysseys start that way because you feel, obviously, how many times you say the words, I'm fine, but there's actually science behind this.
Yeah, and it's worse in a group environment because of the group social dynamics. And this was a pretty interesting study. This is from Ars Technica, which is a science magazine. But it says, science shows that drunk people don't know how drunk they are. A new study shows imbibers measure intoxication relative to other drinkers. And what it – so these scientists asked – they went out to bars and they asked groups four questions. It was – how drunk are you right now on a scale of 1 to 10? How extreme has your drinking been tonight on a scale of 1 to 10? If you drank as much as you have tonight every week, how likely is it that you would damage your health on a scale of 1 to 10 in the next 15 years? And then how likely is it you would get cirrhosis of the liver in the next 15 years? So they ask them to rate all these on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
And it turns out everybody is like way lower than when they should. And what they found out is when we're in a group, all we look at is who's the drunkest person in that group.
Right.
And as long as we think we're under that person, we think we're totally fine.
Yeah, that's always by comparison. Well, I'm not as bad as this guy right here, you know? You always compare that. Also, I love this. And I know you've dedicated a lot of what you do around drunk science. You have a whole show about the science of drunkenness.
Yeah.
And it comes into those Blackout Diaries. I love the research process of it. Like, so they're asking people while they're drunk. to answer these questions. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so like, so like these labs, these are like, as it says, like the doctors going out to the bars, you know, like waiting around till the end of the night.
And okay. a lab coat, yeah, like, you know, with a clipboard.
Answering the survey here we got for you right now. Like, just wait, like, okay, these guys look like they're prime suspects. You know, like, I just love
what's it
research.
For? Science? Right. Yeah. Imagine just saying you represent science abstractly at a bar, asking personal questions.
Where do these answers go? They're going towards science. Don't worry. We file them. We seal them. No one sees them. And then we mail them directly to science. So science can get a look at them and sink their teeth into them.
Apparently, this effect is called rank sensitivity. They say such ranks is you're only ranking yourself based or you're only rating yourself based on other people in the group. May explain why drinking increases in a society. If everyone drank another 10 units per week, no one would believe themselves to be at risk of alcohol related disorder because they see that they're on pace with everybody else, blah, blah, blah. And I think, so they're saying, CJ, this is great. So what they're saying is that groups should start to add, quote, a sober ambassador to the group so that they can start rating themselves off the sober person rather than that sounds like the worst job
terrible.
In the world. Like, unless these are your dear friends. Imagine just being a sober ambassador for a group of drunk people.
Because the study says, you know, if you hang around five blackout drunks, you're going to see you're pretty good in comparison. But the other way, if you hang around with sober people, you're going to feel terrible about yourself. You can see yourself an alcoholic. So if you got some prick sober ambassador going around who just makes people feel awful.
And why are you doing this to yourself?
Right.
You feel you have to do this?
I mean,
you're that uncomfortable with yourself naturally that you have to do this?
Is the best way to deal with problems? You think they're going to go away? Tomorrow they won't be there at all? Okay.
Well, and imagine life for that sober ambassador, too. It's like, no, you did tell me that. You've told me that story three times already, actually.
Yes.
You know,
it's a nightmare. Like I always say, like sometimes, especially when I'm back in Chicago, when I order like a non-alcoholic or something, and like bartender's just blown away that I want to hang out at a bar. Like they think it's a magic trick. Like you're going to tolerate all these people and drink this Heineken Zero. I mean, we'll see.
I
mean, it's like,
I had an experience. Kind of related to all this, a couple of weeks ago, I met some friends for happy hour, and they had been drinking all day. They were just straight up blasted. I hadn't had anything yet. I have a beer with them. We have like three or four beers there, but that's all I've had. So I'm fine. And the bar is packed. All the booths are taken, so we can't sit in a booth. And it's this fancy cocktail place. The bartender keeps putting this like pot that looks like a pot of water with this giant glass right next to us standing at the bar, and it's what he mixes his drinks in, but it looks like he's giving us like a cup and a water pitcher. And my buddy starts pouring it. He's like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, that's my fucking, don't touch my stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the bartender just loses it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. He thought, you know, it does look like a pitcher, but I'd be like, he does it again 30 seconds later. My buddy does the exact same thing. Just the exact same thing. Just steals it again, you know? And he screams at it again. And I just tell the bartender, I'm like, I became a sober ambassador, but I was more like a sober, like productivity. I was like, listen, have you not dealt with drunk people before? You know, you're like, you can't do this. All right, you can't put something that looks like a pitcher in front of this guy. I mean, like, I'm going to move him and your problem will be over with him. But I guarantee you the next drunk is going to do the same fucking thing.
Right. Yeah, you're you're a coordinator. You're a drunk coordinator, if you will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you get things done. You know, like, I mean, yes, obviously he's at fault, but come on. We got to deal with some logistics of it. So, yeah, that sounds like a terrible, terrible, absolute awful job of having to deal with that. In both sides of it, but
a sober ambassador, yes,
sober ambassador. But it does,
you could go ahead. Where are you going to say?
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say you can also tell that we always rank ourselves within the group because if you ever notice, whenever you confront somebody in a group and you say, "Hey, buddy, you're pretty drunk tonight," it's always, "Whoa, me?
Yeah,
look at Bill over there. Bill's pissing in a corner, you know, or you, or they're like you.
They
you
did right
this. I saw you do
you
this
or,
five
right.
minutes ago. Yeah."
Yeah, it's literally the equivalent of...
Like, we have this ledger in our head of everything we've seen everyone else do, you know, that we're ready to, like, you know, start exploiting.
Cast the first
stone. So be careful.
Yeah, that's what cast the first stone is, becomes a saying. It's from the beginning of time. Be careful when you try to judge anyone, because they are going to come right back at you, because no one wants to hear it. But this does prove exactly when we don't think we're as drunk. And if you're hanging around with fellow drunks, why we get into these odysseys alone, you know, and like mm-hmm. starts off with things because we think we're making rational decisions and we think we're fine because everyone else is not fine around us.
And we're it's our pace horse is always the hardest drinker. Yep. So you always end up having even crazier nights. Like, I have a story in my book about how we fell into a deal where the beer was so cheap. It damn near almost killed us. The Cleveland Browns.
Right.
Art Modell, the owner of the Cleveland Browns, took the Cleveland Browns away with no announcement in the late 1990s. It was a huge sports story. It happened
in the middle of the season. Rug pulled from under them. I remember they were doing mm-hmm. good. Bill Belichick was your coach at the time.
That's correct.
Then all of a sudden it became a nightmare where every home game, Modell wouldn't even show up, but it was just booing. Yeah. Like, they're leaving it because they're like, yeah, we're going to leave as soon as the lease is up. You know, one of those breakups. Like, we're going to break up, but then, you know, we still got to ride this lease out, so we're going to live together. So they just booed the shit out of him for a couple months.
It was hilarious. And it also, looking back on it, it's such a hilarious testament to Belichick, whom Modell fired,
yep.
the greatest coach of all time.
Right.
But it also shows how Bill Belichick has he's just like, you know, like, what do you think of this coach? He's like, well, I just do X's and O's. You know, the city doesn't matter to me all that much. I go, fuck you.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, exactly.
You're supposed to hate him.
I know.
Say you hate the owner. You know?
So anyway, the Browns became number one enemy in Cleveland for a short
number one
of
enemy.
Time.
We started boycotting everything that all the advertisements were pulled from the stadium and ads. You would actually listen to games. We started organizing boycotts. Like, we wouldn't go to McDonald's because McDonald's had a Michael Dean Perry burger. It was the official burger of the Browns.
Right. Yeah.
You know. And that, you know, that's how mad we were. And in fact, the boycott was so successful that when you would listen to a game, there were no commercials. So they had to fill the time because the announcers were like, we're not baseball announcers. We can't just talk for,
football's not for
2 hours a day. You know, I'm a former right tackle for the NFL. OK, Doug Deacon can only do about 10 minutes of color commentary a day. So it was filled with public service announcements. So you would hear something like, oh, we got a sack. You know, all right, it's still a ball game here. You know, we'll be right back. And then we'd go, when you get to a railroad crossing, always make a complete stop and check both ways. And it would be like how to install a car seat, make sure your refrigerator can't lock from the inside. That's what you would be listening to, like 60 years of public service announcements. And the boycott was so successful that I go walking into this liquor store in Columbus, and there used to be this beer called Dog Pound Beer.
Uh-huh.
Which we thought, and everyone thought, was the official beer of the Cleveland Browns. Now, it turned out, I actually learned in this story, it was a knockoff beer out of Indiana meant to look like it was officially sanctioned.
Yeah.
But I go walking into this liquor store, and there's these two dudes screaming at the owner, flicking them off. They're just, you know, spitting mad. They leave in a huff. And then the owner, he had an accent. I can't place it right now, but he was just like, you could tell he didn't really understand anything about what was going on. He's like, oh, what am I going to do? Because I just bought this. And he points at it, and it's the biggest display of Dog Pound beer I've ever seen. And it's got it's got a life-size dog linebacker, you know, that he bought and everything. Just everyone who walks in just throws something at him once they see it, you know. It's like pure anger. And I was like, well, what will you sell it for?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like the perfect
timing, right? I can help you out. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm the guy that can help you out of this situation. Now, this place
I mean, it's like an old Western where, you know, you walk into a saloon and there's a fight and they're like, I need somebody to clean up this town, you know? And you're like, well, I'm your gunslinger, you know? And
buddy.
I was like, okay, what can you sell it for? And he's like, you know, I will sell this if you buy that. Oh, I'll sell it below state minimum. And I think state minimum at that point in time was something like $223 for a 12-pack. And I can't remember what it was. We rented a car.
Right.
from Home Depot to fit it all, like a truck. And
you went back. I remember from a story from reading in your book. You went back into the parking lot and like, we need a bigger boat, basically.
Yeah, I did. That's I would go to my buddy Tyson. It was double right. parked. I come walking out. I have no beer. He's like, "What the hell?" I'm like, "We need a bigger boat." You know, and we had to go. Because it's interesting.
It got a truck.
If anyone else ever runs into this problem, Home Depot has these trucks, giant trucks that you can rent for like $20 for an hour. Uh-huh. And the way they get you is what construction job can you actually finish in an hour? But you can pick up beer and move it to a house in an hour. So like I was like, it's worth it. The truck will pay for itself. We'll be done in an hour. They won't get us on the late arrival fees. We unload it. And it begins like an odyssey. Like we get super drunk. Like we get we keep waking up. It begins like a 4-day journey. There was three of us. It was me, my buddy Tyson, my buddy Frank. Two of us lost our jobs by the end of this. I remember at one point, like I come to and we're like traveling. We're in a caravan. So there's three cars. In each car, I later find out when we get to our destination, the entire trunk is filled with dog pound beer. So we have like three cars, each filled with all this beer. First car breaks down and it gets a flat. And we pull over to the side. And I don't know if he was drunk. I don't think he was drunk. I think he was high. I don't know, like, because I'm already like kind of fucked up. But anyhow, he can't get the wheel off. So I'm out there like helping him, like because he bent the rim. It went flat and he didn't pull over fast enough. So it bent the rim and it's like really hard to get it off. The state highway patrol guy comes up and he comes walking up and everyone's like, oh, fuck, you know, like, you know, you know, we're all really worried. And this guy goes, you need any help? And my buddy, who's the driver's truck, goes, yeah, no, why? What did you hear? Oh, God. He just stops talking and looks at his feet. And it was so suspicious. I was in the car. Yeah. And I just go, officer, may I come out? You know, I was like, you know, I'm going to take over here, you know, and, you know, and I was like, yeah, my friend here is really frustrated. He bent the rim and, you know, we're just trying to get up. I think I said we were visiting the College of Kent, which is not even its name.
College of Kent, famous College of Kent from made by.
And he was like five, whatever. I also told him this was, I think, my actual genius. I go, the tow truck is on its way. We've already contacted them, which was a lie.
Right.
But I think the cop just wanted to hear somebody remotely rational say we're okay so he could leave.
Right. Oh, God. If you didn't want that. Oh, all right. Can we get another representative out here, please?
But we, like, the finale of it is we actually woke up. And well, there's a couple ways to end it, but we woke up in a like a Jiffy Lube, like above a Jiffy Lube, like it's almost like the owner of a car garage had an apartment above it, and it like stinks of motor oil and everything, and it's really dingy. It's got like photos of naked. Like, have you ever gone into the office of a garage?
Yes.
Like, at least back then in the 90s, for sure. There's always naked women all over, you know, but on a calendar and like they're marking off business days, like an active calendar that's got, like, you don't see that stuff anymore. Like, one thing I do like about the internet is like we've compartmentalized porn in a healthier way, I feel, where it's like it's, you know. Like, my calendar's my calendar, and my porn's my porn. And I don't need to, never the two will meet, you know?
Yeah, when I was a kid, my barber would have, like, the porn, like postcards of naked women and stuff they don't want to certain ones like to look at, you know?
my buddy, I walk in, and he's got, like, this basket of canes, you know? And he's like, oh, my old man was really into canes. He goes, let me show you this one. And you look, there's this little hole in the cane, and you look in it, and it's a naked woman. I love, I'm like, why would I care about that in 2022?
The deck of cards with naked ladies on it, all that. They always try to sneak porn at you back in the days before the internet. You're right. That is one of the good things the internet has done.
And imagine you're home and you have no imagination and you can't jack off, you know, just to the thoughts in your own head. And it's the 70s or 80s and 90s. You don't have any porn magazine. Right. So are you really going to go, well, let me go get the sexy cane.
Yeah, let me get the cane, the kaleidoscope cane.
So we wake up in a garage like that. And it's just like all those photos. And I'm like, oh, man, my head is killing me. Not a headache, like actual like pain on my forehead.
Like a knob on your head or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I wake up and I have this hat that I don't recognize and I take it off and it's not a hat I own. And I go to my buddy Tyson. I'm like, dude, I woke up with this hat on. It must be way too small for me because my head's killing me. And he just turns around. He looks at me. He goes, whoa. He goes, I don't think that came from a hat. And I go, well, what's wrong? He's like, you need a mirror. And I go find a mirror. And I have like a softball size knot in the middle of my head. Like it looks like somebody hit me with a 2x4. I later found out we had no idea how I did it. We ran into somebody who I guess was with us on day two of this. Mm-hmm. And apparently the rumor is that we had to go to some bar because this one, our buddy Jeff, who was with us for like just only a few hours. It was one of those arrivals where we showed up. He's like, whoa, you didn't warn me you guys were this fucked up, you know? And, you know, it's like my girlfriend's here. And somebody was like, Sean, you got to figure like, we got to get out of here. Like, what's a good excuse to leave? And I just hit my head into the bar. It was almost like the Mike Burns. I'll get us thrown out. Don't worry about it. Yep, I've got it handled. And I did that. Yeah. But because I was drunk, I didn't realize how hard I hit it, you know?
Yes. Day two.
So I wake up.
You're like, we're on day two of this pallet, basically, like of this, this being the pallet. Like the time motion.
Well, I also always say about this, which is very, you have a bit about this, which is hilarious, like with the lottery about, actually, do you want to tell your bit? Like, it's just like your bit where everyone always says, if you win the lottery, make sure to get as one lump. Get it over the years, that's how they get you. You know, that they reduce the present
day
value.
Said, if you did 30 years, that's how they get you. You don't know what's going to happen 30 years from now, which is true, I say, but I do know what's going to happen if I get $500 million in my lap today. I'll be dead tomorrow, you know.
Yeah. And that's what I tell people because I'm like, well, a pallet of dog pound beer almost killed me. So I'm pretty sure $20 billion will finish the job if you just give that to me right now. Now, maybe Sean Flannery in his 40s with three kids, that's not the same. I could probably survive off it now, but definitely not in my 20s. So anyways, I have this huge knot on my head. I'm like, oh boy, this isn't good. My buddy Frank wakes up. I think you've met my buddy Frank. He only has one leg.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I hear him just hopping in the other room, just like really. I'm like, oh, fuck, what? He's like, you're kidding me. And he's just all the time hopping while he's just swearing and saying, he hops out. He's like, I can't find my leg. And we're like, you know, and we had just started hanging out at this point. So I just figured, I'm like, does this happen all the time? He's like, I've never lost my leg in my life. You know, like, no. It
doesn't. Well, get used to it if you're hanging out with me, because that's going to be a common occurrence. We're going to have a lot of fun with that leg, but we're going to have a lot of lost memories with it, too.
So we're like, oh, Christ, we're going to have to go back to every bar and find this leg, you know. And luckily, though, I go running into another room, go to put my pants on, or what I thought my pants. I don't know how Frank and I got our pants mixed up, but I go to put the pants on and his leg is in my pants.
Oh,
so
classic
crisis averted.
His leg was in your pants. I'm sure I'm sure you're like, let me try that on, see if I can see it.
We did used to have, I don't know if I ever told you stories. We met at a factory and we used to have a lot of fun with that leg. Like, because I had to work, I don't even know what they're called. It's not a forklift, but it's like those power skids where, you know, you put pallets on.
Yeah.
And I would work that. And then he worked the staple machine. So I would have to send like the payloads down. And then what we would sometimes do is we would, then it would go down to the person with the shrink wrap and we would send his leg down.
Sure. You know, I can see this coming a mile away.
Or we would send it up and down the freight elevator, you know, like with the pants on and a human leg there. And we had it was hilarious when the foreman called us in. We worked at Kenmore Bookbindery and he calls us in. He's like, guys, I always love it when a manager starts it with, listen, I like to have fun too. You know you're about to get warned, you know. Yeah,
but I got to.
And there's always some new triplicate form out, like a write, you know, because he's going to officially write you up. So there's right. you already see the form, like.
You're making me do my job here. I have to do my job. Apparently, you can't recreate
have body
the
parts.
Yeah, you can't have the lamp from Christmas Story coming down the assembly line. It's a good gag. I get it. You know, you're not going to have this opportunity too much, but doing the old Laverne and Shirley as you wave a goodbye. Oh, man. Well, that's going to do it for today's Blackout Diaries. How long did it take you to finish that palette, by the way? We got now a question for your story.
So we basically had a big party that first Friday at the house we drove it to. That group did a good dent in it, and then we finished it by Sunday. But when we left Saturday, when we left Columbus for Kent, we only had enough to fit it in three trunks. Wow. So it was down to probably, 10 cases by the... It was terrible beer.
Terrible beer. Jobs were lost, but the story was gained.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it for today's Blackout Diaries. For Sean Flannery and CJ Silva, thank you again for Dan Bergamini for coming by.
Yes.
Quick plugging. You can follow us on the socials. Instagram, CJ Sullivan was taken. On X, at CJ Sullivan _. Show-wise, we do the Blackout Diaries show here in L.A. We just had another one here at Escondite monthly. Milwaukee, I'll be there April 19th at the Laughing Tap that weekend. Make sure you get tickets for that. That's the only thing that really matters as far as ticket sales. You know, you have to help out, they say. Make sure you
yes.
I don't know if it helps or anything, but that is that. On my other broadcast, Bottom Line Bombs, Man in the Box. Tell 50,000 of your friends about all of this. And then, of course, in Chicago, the Blackout Diaries every Friday night at the Lincoln Lodge. You run. What else you got going on there, Sean?
Mostly just that. We've got some amazing lineups coming up the next few weeks. Oh, and we do have a special Blackout Diaries appearance out in the suburbs of Chicago, yes. which we've never done, at Robert's West Side on Thursday, April 18th.
Nice.
We will be out there. So come check out that show if you're on the west side of Chicago. And check out my books, Places I Can't Return To, at SeanBearFlannery.com.
Sounds good. Other than that, that's going to do it. We'll see you next week.